Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at WBEZ.org/events.
27 days, 40 mass shootings. By the time you hear this podcast, there may have been more. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. It's been a violent start to the year in America. Multiple people shot at a Subway restaurant in North Carolina and outside a youth center in Pennsylvania. 11 killed at a dance hall in California, where shootings have taken dozens of lives. The state's governor summed it this way: tragedy after tragedy. Here in Chicago, we started the week with a mass shooting. 2 people killed and 3 wounded in a South Shore apartment. It's a lot to process. Here to discuss how we can deal with these stories as news consumers and as human beings is Iggy Ladin, therapist and founder of the Chicago Therapy Collective, and Pastor Raymond Chang, president of the Asian American Christian Collaborative. We'll also be hearing from folks from across the Chicago area. Pastor Chang, as we've said, it's tragedy after tragedy. What's on your mind?
Devastation and confusion and grief. I don't know if people know how to hold this much trauma and the collective trauma that's oftentimes unearthed through this, but not known how to process. And so I'm having conversations all throughout the country with different people, and they don't know how to have the conversations themselves. They don't know where to turn for resources. They don't know how to make sense of the violence that they're seeing, especially around guns. And they don't know how to process and where to go to process all this stuff. And so it's just been a time of confusion and devastation.
Yeah, as you say, people don't know how to have the conversation. It makes me think of my own life. I talk about it here because I have to. But at home, we've stopped talking. I don't know if we're doing it on purpose or if we're tired. How are you doing, Iggy?
Yeah, I find this to be incredibly heartbreaking, terrifying, and ultimately frustrating and disturbing because it keeps happening. These shootings keep happening again and again. And I'm reminded of just in November when we were mourning Trans Day of Remembrance or Resilience, we woke up to the news of the mass shooting at Club Q. So as an LGBTQ community member, as a trans person, I think we in our various minority groups are feeling targeted, are feeling scared and concerned about our safety on a day-to-day basis. And the constant coverage from the news puts that question of safety really at the forefront of our minds, perhaps more than it might otherwise be. So there's a lot of reactions that are happening, I know, across communities. And all of the reactions, all of the feelings people are having are valid. They might lead to bigger feelings of despair or hopelessness. Or on the other end, folks might start to get analytical and really try to figure out what is leading to these problems and start thinking of solutions. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so grateful today we can create some space to talk about the various reactions that might be happening for folks and to have this public space where we can validate some of the impact on our mental health from these mass shootings.
I'm glad you went through some of those reactions. They are pretty common when stress and trauma come into play. What if your response is just to go numb, though?
Absolutely. That's a very common response, to go numb, to turn off, to try to wall our nervous systems off from the overwhelming information and threats on our safety. And you know what? That's okay. It's okay to say no to an input of information that we, on some level, might not be able to handle in a moment, might be overwhelming. So I first want to just, you know, reassure folks that if you are numbing out, if you are tuning out or numbing to this news, that's all right. That's one set of reactions that is normal. And in time, I hope that folks can find opportunities to reconnect and acknowledge the feelings that are happening inside and ultimately find space to connect with others and acknowledge, again, some of the impact that these mass shootings are bringing up for folks.
Yeah, Pastor Chang, on one hand, going numb makes sense. But criminologists, they say people are getting desensitized to these deaths. Do you think it makes a difference who is going numb?
I don't know if it makes a difference in terms of who is going numb. In some ways, if we go numb in order to dissociate from the overwhelm that takes place, that is a normal response. But I think, on the other hand, there are things that we can certainly combat as a community, even as we're holding the difficulties of all the collective trauma that everyone in this country is experiencing. Sadly, it's only in moments like these where people start caring again about gun violence, and those who have been combating the proliferation of guns get more and more vocal. But then, you know, after these tragedies pass and the moment passes, we kind of go back to life as normal and as usual. And so I think there is an element in which we have to care even when it's difficult to care, to mm-hmm. at least add our voices to calling for change where change is certainly possible and certainly needed. And so on the one hand, the dissociation or going numb makes sense. On the other hand, I'm hoping that as we get people care, the care that they need, they also become engaged to see some change in this world, because we can't keep doing this.
Let's go to the phones. Angela in Naperville has been waiting. Hey, Angela, welcome to Reset.
Hi. Yeah. Good morning. It's very tragic. I'm Asia background. I'm from Naperville.
Okay.
So my point of view is that it's not only talk about gun violence, but you have to think about why it happened and what's the cause of reason. You know, the family issues and the workplaces. If we only talk about gun violence and we're not thinking about roots, and then what happened again? Even though without a gun, they can use knives, they can use all and any other things. So I think it's mental health is a big issue. It takes a village. It's not only one family, it's one community. It takes the whole society. We have to find a place to help those people. They really desperate, really need help.
Angela brings up a great point, Iggy. We got to think about the mental health of these people who are committing these crimes.
Yeah, mental health is frequently brought up as potentially a cause for gun violence. And I want to right away dispel the myth that mental health or severe mental illness is the cause for this gun violence. Hands down, research has shown that it's actually easy access to guns that is leading to these mass murders. However, it is true that we need mental health interventions, resources for folks who are impacted by this trauma. And also we need mental health resources to address some of the underlying root causes, which is not mental illness. However, there are other factors that we see in some of these cases of mass murders, such as, you know, we've recognized that 99% of cases, these are men who are committing these murders. 50% of cases, they're middle-aged men. A significant majority of times, it's young men, often white men. So these issues are both racialized and they're gendered. And so when we ask what is the root of this problem, it should take us to some pretty deep places about what's going on socially. And I hope we can, through these tragedies, actually start having more transparent conversations about why is this happening.
Well, yesterday we spoke with Van Huyen, who's executive director of the Vietnamese Association of Illinois. She said her initial reaction to the shooting in Monterey Park was she was bracing herself. It's going to be another white supremacist attack, basically. But once she learned that the gunman was an Asian man, she had these additional reactions. Let's listen.
I think to hear that it's someone from your own community triggers all these other additional layers to it around the trauma that Southeast Asian Americans face, you know, as war refugees coming into the U.S., and also just the lack of services that are available to be able to address these issues. In my initial conversations with a lot of local organizations, you know, we talk about the gender-based violence in our community, the gun violence that also exists, all of this coupled with the anti-Asian sentiment and violence that has just permeated throughout our community.
Pastor Chang, what's your response there? She mentioned the lack of services to address the needs of immigrants and refugees.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I just tweeted out right before the show how there are multiple factors at play, including mental health, but not limited to, and exactly what you said earlier, that's completely right, that we can't be constantly scapegoating mental health as the issue that leads to all these mass shootings. I basically said that we have to think about how anti-Asian racism that sparked violence and hate leading to increased fear could be a factor, the lack of social support programs, because many of our elders experience isolation. I'm an Asian American myself, and so when I heard that these incidents were perpetrated by Asian Americans, the first thought I had was, oh my goodness, we're going to see another spike of anti-Asian sentiment because we're going to get scapegoated for being perpetrators of these mass shootings. But in addition to that, you know, there's economic challenges. Many of our elders feel like they're an economic burden on families. There's far right-wing violence-inducing propaganda that's widely spread on social media channels because there's a lack of options for those who don't have access to English-speaking media. In fact, one of six Asian Americans go to social media sites to discuss politics, where far right-wing propaganda and conspiracy theories spread like wildfire, whether it's on WeChat or KakaoTalk or Line or WhatsApp or on YouTube. And so they're getting fed all these very false and misguiding ideas. And, of course, there is a stigma against and the lack of mental health support. But in addition to personal issues that can lead to domestic and workplace violence and, of course, radicalization of male aggression. But as you said earlier, it is the easy access to guns that turns things into this type of mass devastation. I mean, like, if someone had a knife, like, we might be talking about an attack and we might be talking about a casualty, but not this level of chaos and destruction that we're talking about today.
This is Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We're talking about coping with the seemingly never-ending gun violence happening in our country. Let's hear now from Taylor in Highland Park, who's been waiting. Hi, Taylor. Welcome to Reset.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to comment on the many, many facets of grief and frustration that accompany these mass shootings, especially from the perspective of the parent of three young children. Our community experienced a mass shooting this past 4th of July, and navigating how to discuss and or, you know, shield our children from these events, discussions surrounding these events, just leaves no time to process. And I come from a community who has an abundance of resources. So thinking about the inequity that some of these other communities are facing in terms of support just is unbelievably maddening. It can just make your head spin thinking of all the levels of grief and frustration.
Taylor, thanks for calling. Hang in there. Take care. Iggy, let's get into some self-care, right? I mean, how can maybe talking it out and having people listen to you, how can something like that be helpful?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think bringing up children is a really important point and can actually be grounding for adults, because what children need is also what adults need. What we need in times like this is a space for somebody to just be with us, a safe space where we can voice honestly the kinds of thoughts and feelings that are going through our minds and our bodies. And the chance and the space to figure out what we need to do next. Now, with kids, it is often the case that we need to listen. We need to, you know, give our kids a chance to name what it is that they've maybe seen or heard, and articulate some of the feelings that perhaps are coming up for them around that. And it's the same thing with adults. So I think it's actually very grounding to think about what is it that kids are needing as a pathway for what adults are needing. And it seems so simple, But it's profound what can happen when we have that safety. Because on the most basic level, what's happening in a lot of our nervous systems is there's a question about safety. So as much as we can answer that question for ourselves and for our loved ones that we are safe now, we're safe to feel, we're safe to exist, that's going to start to give us that comforting information we need.
Yeah. In moments of strife, people often turn to a spiritual practice for solace, right? But just as often, people will get angry in these moments, some asking, how can God let something like this happen? How do you respond, Pastor Chang?
Yeah, I mean, so as a Christian, you know, we believe that God exists and that one of his primary tenets is love. But love requires that, you know, people have choice, and sometimes that choice is to commit harm and do wrong. And so though there is an element which we don't understand how to make sense of all the evil in the world, if we look at many of the religious traditions, but especially for the Christian tradition, we believe that there is a God who's going in the process of making all things right through the sacrifices that he has made in Jesus Christ, and that he's turning everything that's upside down right side up, and to bring healing and wholeness to a broken society and to a broken world. And so there is a comfort knowing that there is a God who cares and cares enough to enter into this world and to enter into the pain of this world. But on the other hand, we believe that God created communities to be able to extend that care to other people. And so you talk about the problem of evil, and we can talk about it for hours, and so there's not really a soundbite for it. But, you know, a key tenet of many faiths is that there is a God who cares, and that's true of Christianity, and that care extended to sending and sacrificing his own son.
Let's hear from another caller. Here is Maritza in Jefferson Park. Hi, Maritza.
Hi, Sasha Ann. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
First thing I do pretty much every single morning is listen to WBEZ, and just, you know, since the shootings in California, it's like it's the first thing I hear when I wake up in the morning, and it's, you know, hard to listen to that. It just makes me feel sick to my stomach. But I feel like I'm at the point where I'm just kind of expecting it to get closer. You know, like, okay, my community will probably eventually be a part of this. And I don't know. I suppose that the best way to describe that is a sort of numbness, because I just feel completely defeated at this point. It doesn't seem like any changes are being made or we're making any progress.
Yeah, I share those sentiments, Maritza. I see where you're coming from. Thank you for calling and sharing those thoughts, Iggy. I mean, again, it goes back to what we were talking about before, that fatigue with hearing this all the time. I mean, Maritza told our producer before jumping on air, she feels defeated hearing about these mass shootings. There are a myriad of discussions of why this is happening, maybe trying to find a common thread, trying to understand. I feel like as humans, we have this desire to just make meaning of things, right? So is that useful?
Absolutely. I would say that desire to make meaning and often problem solve and prevent is a way of re-engaging ourselves when we tune out. So if you find yourself trying to make meaning or understand what are the roots of this problem, that is good, because that is a sign of leaning in and engaging, acknowledging what is happening. And ultimately, you know, in order to take care of ourselves and to take care of our communities, it's about engagement. And there are different pathways to engagement. Not everybody is necessarily going to take on an activist form of engagement or a body-based form of engagement. But I encourage folks to ask themselves, what do they need to re-engage with themselves right now, to connect with themselves right now? And to take care of your basic needs. Make sure you're getting enough sleep. Make sure you're eating regularly. These things start to go out the window, basic self-care things, and then we find ourselves even more impacted by this stress. Unfortunately, research is showing that despite the fact that these shootings happen again and again, you would think we'd become more habituated, but actually we're becoming more sensitized. And sensitization can look like numbness. It can look like walling off. It can also look like not being able to stop consuming information, really trying to just keep scrolling. And so our acute trauma or stress reactions can look really different and can be forms of this oversensitization. And I think as a society, we're going to have to start talking about what do we need, you know, to be talking about to engage folks with combating that oversensitization. Certainly top-down solutions like gun safety is a really big part of that. But again, access to mental health care and reminders in our churches, in our schools, in our communities, that it's important to be checking in on one another and doing the basics to take care of ourselves.
Pastor Chang, I'll give you the last word here. I mean, should we be trying to make sense of something that seems so senseless?
Yeah, I think Iggy said it really well. I don't know if we can make sense of things that are this senseless, but I think we have to come to certain conclusions so that we get the help that we need, we get the care that we need, we are building the communities and pouring into the communities that we need, and we're moving towards a type of social change that we want to leave to the next generations, because I know I do not want to leave a world to my child that is rife with this type of devastation. And so I think, you know, on the one hand, we have to know that it's okay not to be okay. And on the other hand, we have to actively seek help. And I love what Iggy said in terms of checking in on people. Check in on the person that you might think is experiencing isolation or is caving in on themselves, and then make sure that you're inviting them into life-giving community. Because we need each other in these times.
Pastor Raymond Chang is president of the Asian American Christian Collaborative, and Iggy Ladin is a therapist and founder of the Chicago Therapy Collective. Thank you both. This episode of Reset was produced by Linnea Dominic, and it was edited by Andrew Merriweather. If you've been subscribed to the Reset podcast for a while and maybe forgot to leave us a rating and review, just take a second to give us those 5 stars, will you? It's a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in more listeners finding our show. All right, that's it for Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you this afternoon.
Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.